Our scripture text for today is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen." You may be seated. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see John the Baptist coming into the picture, and he had been born about 6 months before Jesus. And so did he know Jesus, because they were related. Mary and Elizabeth were relatives. And so John maybe knew Jesus as a child and maybe had even played with him several times. They lived in two different areas, but they still weren't that far apart. So we see John here saying he doesn't know Jesus, but was it because it hadn't been made fully aware that Jesus was the Son of God until John seen the Spirit descending from heaven and ascending and lighting on Christ when he was baptized? And so John says this is why he came baptizing with water. He come and he says, "You know, I baptized with water unto repentance, but the one coming after me," and he's talking about Christ, "he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so we have to kind of look at this and maybe look at the way it's different, and yet it's the same. We bring our children into the Lord and we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Christ has commanded us to do that. He says, "I have all authority on heaven and on earth. And I want you to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you," or to observe the doctrine and the gospel of Jesus Christ, why he came into the world, and what he did by coming into the world to reconcile us back to God and to be saved through what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And so we see John the Baptist here saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." And I believe this was the Holy Spirit in John. Maybe John didn't even realize he was going to say it, but they were proclaiming Christ even before he was baptized. And he says, "You know, one comes after me, whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, or whose straps and sandals I am not worthy to unloose," John tells the people, "because he was before me." And therefore, he comes after me, but he was before me because the plan of salvation was set up even before the foundations of the world, and this was all completely set up. And I can see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, if you want to say, having a round table discussion one day, and they says, you know, I'm going to create the heavens and the earth, or we will create them and we will create man. But, you know, because we know what's going to happen, we know man will sin. And therefore, we need a plan of salvation if it should ever be coming up and needed. And so Jesus, the Son, the second one in the Trinity, says, I will go. I will give my life and shed my blood as a human being on the cross of Calvary to reconcile the world back to you, Lord God, and to make sure that this plan of salvation is complete. And we see, as we read in the Old Testament and even in Revelation and other places, that the angels looked upon this to understand what the plan of salvation would be and how God would reconcile the world back to him. They evidently weren't included in all of these things or in the plannings of how salvation would work. So when John sees Jesus coming, he says, behold, the Lamb of God, because a lamb has to be shed. And a lamb was probably the one that was shed when God made coats for Adam and Eve when they first fell. And then he had promised in Genesis 3:15 a way of salvation way back there in the beginning of time. And we don't know how much time had went on from creation until that time, but we know that God had mercy upon the human race, and he had promised them salvation in the fullness of time. And yet he told Adam, he says, you know, cursed is the ground that you have to go out and make your living by, because you listened to Satan rather than to me. And so everything was cursed, including the creation or the world as we know it today, is in a cursed, as a curse upon it. And yet in Romans it tells us that even the earth and the groans to be released from this curse is coming, and it will be released when Christ comes again and puts down Satan completely. God wants each one of us to be saved. And so in this baptism, when John wanted to be baptized by Christ, he says, I should be baptized by you. And Jesus says, to fulfill the law, let it be so now that you baptize me. And then we'll work on the rest of this later on. And we see that as John baptized Jesus, the dove came from heaven, which was the Holy Spirit, and lighted on Christ. And John says, I was told that whoever the dove ascends and lights upon and stays upon, this is the Son of God, and I am a witness to this. So I see this, and it is the Son of God. And then the Holy Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness for 40 days, and he was tempted there by Satan, and he overcame those temptations, telling Satan, it is not by bread alone, but by every word of God that you shall live. And Satan could not get Jesus to leave God the Father in any of these temptations. We bring our children to the Lord, and we baptize them, and we feel that we're bringing them into the family of God, and that the Holy Spirit can work a mighty work in them. And as we teach them when they're young and they grow up, then accepting Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And yet we see many, many of them who think nothing of their baptismal covenant that they had or was made for them, and they think nothing about Jesus Christ, and they think nothing about anything except what they can get in the world. And we see God has said, there is two roads. There's a narrow road which leads to heaven, and there's a wide road that leads to eternal destruction. And so even in baptism, we must realize that the baptism in and of itself does not save us, but that it helps us to be in the family of God, and that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us as we proclaim and show Christ in our lives, that as we grow in not only in age maybe, but in maturity, that we would see, people would see Christ in us and glorify Him because we have Christ living in us always, and that He has pulled the veil off of our eyes and off of our heart so that we can take and worship Christ and Christ alone. We see that God has given us the Holy Scripture, and in this Holy Scripture He has told us how to be saved and how that we can take and combat the evil one. And it tells us that as we have Christ in our heart and our life, and as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ only, that Satan will flee from us when we tell him that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, and that Christ can have first place in all that we say or do. We see also here John says that Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and he does that when we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit enters us fully and will help us. And Jesus says, if you love me and keep my commandments, my Father will love you and I will love you, and we will come and we will make our abode with you to teach you the way that God would want you to go and the way in which he would want you to live each step of the way. And we find then too that the veil is lifted from our eyes and from our soul, and that as we read and study the Holy Scripture, we will see that the Spirit will teach us the truth, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, I will send my Comforter unto you, and he will teach you all truth. And as we read Scripture, if you're like me, I can read Scripture and maybe come back to it a little later, and I'll say, I didn't see that in there before. And yet the Holy Spirit is showing me some more of what that particular Scripture tells and how it relates to myself and those around me, that I can live the life that people would see Christ in me and glorify Jesus Christ, because he is the one that saved me as a sinner, and I was saved by grace. And then as we read in the Old Testament, you know, harvest is past and summer is over, and it says we're not saved. And is that because we so many times look to our physical world and we see what can I get out of it, instead of looking to Christ and saying, Lord, what can I do for you as your servant? And we see then too that we can look back on some of the news articles and advertisements. Some time ago they would say, take from all your first fruits or all your paychecks or whatever you get in working, and make sure you put 1/10 of it aside for yourself. And this is Satan working to make you want to think only of yourself first. And if there's anything left, then you may want to think about giving something to the Lord instead of giving God what's entitled to him in the first place, which is his, because he gave it to you. And he says, I make my sun to shine on the just and the unjust. I bring rain to the just and the unjust. And I'll bring grain and blessings to all of them, because I want everyone to repent and to be saved. And then we would see, too, that God is not slack concerning his promises, and that we may think he is delaying, but he wants all people to repent and to be saved. He says, what good or what pleasure do I have in someone that dies in their sin? I have no pleasure in that, God tells us. And he says, I want you all to repent. My desire is that you would take and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and live for him, and to know then that you have the blessings of God and that he's living in your heart and in your soul. In the Isaiah passage we were reading, and we see there about Christ being crucified and how Christ died for our sins and he opened not his mouth, and yet on the cross he says, God, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And in his last breaths before he committed his life or his soul to God, he had asked for the forgiveness of sins for those that had mistreated him and that had hung him on the cross. And yet they thought they were doing God a favor by crucifying him. And it was through this crucifixion that his blood was shed for you and for me to cover our sins, that the Holy Spirit can convict us and bring us into salvation with him through the repentance of sin as we are convicted and as we take then and live for Jesus Christ. And we will hear, as John said, behold, this is the Son of God. He's the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And he's taking away my sin, and he's taken away your sin as you live and breathe and have committed your life fully to God. And you see then in 2 Corinthians 4, it tells us like this. Even if our gospel is veiled, Paul says, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, the God of this world, has blinded. Then he goes on and he says, those that do not believe, they are blinded, and if they come to the light, all of their deeds would be made and shown, and they would repent of their sin and they'd accept Jesus Christ. You see, those that have rejected Christ are the ones that has the veil pulled down over their eyes and over their heart, and they don't want to hear about the salvation or the need to repent of their sins, to have Jesus Christ forgive them of their sins and to come unto him. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he is doing this today, and he is doing this for each one that isn't saved, that they may have the opportunity once more to accept him before the door of mercy and grace is closed forever when they're called out of this world. It brings us to mind, too, that as we are baptized and we live for Christ and we proclaim Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are to make sure that Christ is our Lord. And we are to pray and thank him every day for all the goodness and the mercy he has given us. And that as we thank him, that he leads us and guides us in such a way that people will see him in us and glorify him. Then it also comes to mind in how do we look at people in the world and say other sinners or other people that don't believe, I should say, and how do we look at them in our Christian faith? Do we pray for them? Do we befriend them in such a way that they see Christ in us? Or do we do like they are doing and they're conforming themselves to the world and to the things of the world, and they're looking only for what they can get in the pleasures of this world, and their mind is not being renewed in the Word of God, but that they are looking only at the physical life and what it can bring. In Romans 12, it tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew it in Christ and become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. That God, as God would say, I desire all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. And then we would see, too, that we would find that we don't abuse the Word of God and that we don't abuse the authority that God has given us in being able to pray and to be able to teach others, but that we would give God all the glory, and we would give God not only the glory, but everything, all the prophets or anything else that might come along, would be to see that Christ received first place in our hearts and in the hearts of those in whom we are maybe talking with or working with at those times. And then we also see that the love of the world would not overtake us, that the love of the world would be put aside because Christ would be in our heart and our love would be to him and what he's doing in our lives, that the world will not overtake us and that we will not conform to the ways of the world, that we would not be friends with things of the world to gather for ourselves, but that we would want to have Christ's glory and honor shown to those round about us each step of the way, that we could see so very, very plainly that as we obey Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, we will do his will. And we see even in the world today that there are many Christians that give their lives rather than looking out or changing their what they believe. They'll say, I will die for my Lord because he died for me. We have in the people that take and print Bibles like Wycliffe and Frontier, and some of them, they have changed many of the Bible writings. And 91 times they have taken out of the Bible that Jesus is the Son of God. And they have taken and they have taken in the Great Commission that we have. Jesus says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things, teaching them to observe the gospel and doctrine of Jesus Christ. And they have changed it, and they'll say, they don't say Jesus had all the authority. They says that you are to go into the world and to wash and cleanse all these people, and that they would worship Allah and his Savior. And they have changed it completely. They sent a bunch of these Bibles over to Pakistan, and Pakistan told them to take them back. They says, we don't want them because the Christians in our country that has accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior is looking at this, and you are destroying that Savior. You are destroying and saying that there was no Jesus that died on the cross. We do not want these new Bibles that was printed to not offend the Muslim faith. And so we see that there are people that will stand up and realize that these people are becoming anti-Christians. And we have to be more and more aware of that as we go through life every day. We see this happening more and more throughout the world. And it's not only in that aspect. We see people, as it told us in Peter, that people will say, things have been going on the same way since Christ died. Where is this Christ you're talking about? And many of them are going similar to that. And they're saying nothing has changed. Yet they have taken God out of the schools, and they're trying to take God out of the churches, and they've taken God out of many different places. And when things go wrong, they say, where is God? And God would tell them, you took me out and sent me away, and you didn't want me. Now, if you want me, I will come, and I will convict you of sin, and I will take and show you the way of salvation. But men and women today that have refused to follow Jesus Christ have taken and they've consigned themselves so many times to the ways of the world, and they wonder why things aren't going very good. Yet, because we have Christ in our personal life, and we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we can walk peaceably through this life, even though the turmoil around us is piling up, as I said once before. We walk peaceably because Christ says, I will give you my peace. Not as the world gives do I give you, but I give it to you that passes all understanding. And because you trust in me, you can walk through the battles of life and you will come through it because I am leading you and guiding you and you are keeping your faith in me. And so we imitate Christ in this life is what we should be doing. Being willing and boldly proclaiming Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and that he can be each one as we turn our hearts to him and give him our life each day. It is through this that we have salvation, and that in the end we would hear Jesus tell us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your Lord. Those who do not have Christ and they do not repent, or if they feel that they don't need to, will find that they are on the short end and that they will hear Christ say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. And even though you claimed that you knew Christ or knew about him, but you refused to commit him to be your Lord and Savior. This is what we want each one to know, that Christ is our personal Lord and Savior, and that we walk with him day by day, and he will give us the grace and holiness we need as we live for him. And as the song said, Jesus is the one that will wipe away our tears because he died for us, and he gave his life for each one of us. And this is what we have to not only remember, but we give our hearts and lives to Christ, and we tell him, I will be your servant, and help me to live for you each step of the way. Help me to be bold when you want me to speak, and help me that people will see you in me and glorify you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with each one of us. Keep us in your care and help us, O Lord, that as we go forward from this place, that people will see you living in us, through us, and that we live for you each day. In Jesus' name, amen.